it's a bit too loose. The deletion will also satisfy one of those groups that remains nameless that we referred to earlier.
Okay. Representative Miller moves a friendly amendment to the amendments proposed by Representative Phillips on page 2, line 12, to delete the language in any manner. Representative Phillips, would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
You bet. And if anybody wants an explanation, I'll be glad to give it to them as to what that means.
Sure.
Okay. Just since Representative Phillips
is
wondering what the extent that, if you were going to a gun show or going hunting in Alaska and you were to carry in a gun case a weapon, there was some concern that that might be construed to be in any manner, although when I checked with the DAs that had never been a problem, they wanted to make sure it was very clean and clear. What we're trying to do throughout this whole thing is get people who conceal weapons on themselves, and that's why if we take that route and leave the word upon themselves, we've met everybody's desire, and that's why it's a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there further discussion on the friendly amendment? Representative Kopetsky.
I think in terms of consistency with the friendly amendment by Representative Miller, in any manner, on page 1, line 17, the same phrase is used.
Okay. Representative Miller, Representative Phillips, would you accept that as a further friendly amendment?
I will note that since the purpose of 240 and 250 originally was to move and use firearms only in 250 and other weapons in 240, that's why that there was not an expression for that, but there doesn't seem to be any conflict with moving it out either. The issue is still somebody carrying a knife or switchblade on themselves.
Okay. Representative Miller, Representative Phillips, would you accept that further as a friendly amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. So noted. So we have before us those two friendly amendments. Representative Phillips' motion to adopt the new set of amendments as amended. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to those amendments? If not, they'll be adopted. Representative Phillips?
I'd like to move the amended version of House Bill 2384 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Phillips moves House Bill 2384 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Tony?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Britton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted.
Thank you. All.
Representative Phillips, and thank you, Representative Miller, for your help as well.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Representative Phillips, I assume you want the privilege on this?
I would appreciate that.
Okay, Representative Kopetsky, 2685.
Good bill.
We'll ask counsel to explain that.
The purpose of this bill is to crack down on commercial counterfeiting in Oregon. It provides protection from certain names, designs, and symbols. It toughens the civil remedies that are available by increasing the damages a court can award in a civil infringement action. It also empowers the court to seize counterfeit goods. In addition to the civil remedies, the bill makes commercial counterfeiting a crime for the first time in Oregon. The committee discussed the merits of making counterfeiting goods a crime. The subcommittee decided they would go ahead with the bill as it was originally written in that respect. The bill was amended to reflect language that tied into the current penal code and the penalties that would be incurred. And it was also amended to reflect the concerns that the Oregon State Bar's patent committee had. But essentially, that's what it actually does. It cracks down on commercial counterfeiting and it toughens the civil remedies and creates a crime. All of the amendments were voted on in the subcommittee, and there was no fiscal impact.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky, motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2685 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Okay, Representative Kopetsky moves House Bill 2685 to the floor with a D-pass as amended recommendation. Is there further discussion?
If there's some concerns about this bill, I'd be glad to address them by any member of the committee and make an argument if they so desire. More than just a SFPA, otherwise known as a Soft Shoe Protection Act, I think it's involved lots of products in our society are being counterfeited, whether we're talking about watches, pharmaceuticals, high-tech instruments, and of course last Christmas the Cabbage Patch doll. But so I think that it's a problem in our society, probably continues to grow, that we're known for our ingenuity in Oregon and the United States, but we ought to protect our ingenuity and products.
Representative Kopetsky, there's been one concern expressed, and that's we're not clear if we know if Portland Chamber of Commerce supports this or not. Do you?
Well, it's been those of us involved in the International Anti-Counterfeiting Association that the chambers have supported this type of legislation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative.
Now, I'm not sure about the Portland Chamber.
Representative Olney.
Medford Chamber.
Medford Chamber. Representative Bellamy.
I'm reading the implementation section, the effective date.
Ooh. Actually, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if the, I think the, did the full committee or the subcommittee adopt that provision? I'm sorry, but Representative Bellamy will be glad to answer it.
Counsel?
Yes, I'm sorry. At subcommittee, the subcommittee voted on setting an effective date, but they didn't pick a particular date. They asked me to work with Representative Kopetsky and Legislative Council. We were advised by Representative Kopetsky's office as to the date, which you see before you, but I also asked Legislative Council to check to make sure that was the date that we were. And that's where it was left, and I got the amendments back, so I assumed that they're approved. But that particular date was not filled in when we passed the subcommittee. It was passed exceptionally.
I guess the question being is, 90 days after the legislature adjourns, if you don't have an effective date on the measure, it goes into effect 90 days after the governor signs it, right?
After the adjournment. Signing die adjournment, 90 days starts to run.
Well, it starts then.
Yes.
It sort of has an emergency clause, but then we assume we're going to be out of here in June and we didn't need it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bellamy, that was my concern, was that I did want this to go into effect prior to the Christmas holiday season, and just in case we go until August 1st or beyond, I wouldn't want that to fact that we are remiss in our deliberations of getting out of here quickly, that would...
As a technical matter, should we not eliminate the words and just say it takes effect October 1, 1985?
I would be glad to explore that issue with counsel. However, I think because of the possibility that the session may go beyond July 1st, possibility, if we were to have an effective date of October 1st without the emergency language, I think that would be a nullity. And there might be some confusion, and rather than do that.
I guess to turn it around, would check with it, because if we do get out of here on June 15th, then I guess the question would be as to whether this bill goes into effect on September 15th or October 1.
My interpretation would be that it would be October 1st.
I don't have an objection, but I think we ought to check on that and make sure that's written.
We'll ask counsel to double check and make sure there's no misinterpretation on that.
What the shopping season.
Let me go ahead and accept from Representative Kopetsky a motion or ask him, Representative Kopetsky, on your main motion on the bill, would you accept as a friendly amendment the language in Section 8, which prescribes the emergency clause and the effective date of October 1st, 1995?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to that language as it relates to the effective date? If not, be so adopted. We're on the main motion. Is there further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Britton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Zetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Phillips?
Declare a possible conflict of interest in that I am employed by a corporation that this will directly affect and has been alluded to and sub and in full committee a couple of times, and I just want to make sure that's on the record.
Swoosh.
Chair, I'm glad I don't have to declare a conflict of interest with that bill.
Thank you. President Kapiski, would you like the honors on this?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Representative Phillips might want to back me up a little bit.
Okay, 2314. And before we take consideration of 2314, this was a bill which was tabled by the full committee. We had votes to remove it from the table of the subcommittee, but to eliminate any possible question about whether or not it's been properly removed from the table, the chair would move to remove from the table House Bill 2314 for consideration of amendments and action this afternoon. Is there any objection to that motion to untable 2314? If not, it's removed from the table. Mr. Brea?
On March 6th of this year, we had an open hearing work session on this bill, and the bill expands the membership on commission on the judicial branch, 15 members. There were some amendments proposed by Representative Burton to delete certain requirements from some of the representatives on the commission, and those were identified as 2314-1 passing amendments. After much discussion, last in the bill was tabled, and we have reconsideration before today.
Okay, the bill as considered by the full committee had included an amendment adopted initially in the subcommittee to delete language on lines 13 and 14, I believe. Representative Burton had asked that that language be deleted, and I guess I would assume that that language is still deleted in the bill before us, notwithstanding the tabling and untabling. That is the bill we have before us, and the only other changes are those as they appear in the printed bill, which increase the membership and the quorum. And advise me if there are additional. Representative or Mr. Brea.
One further consideration. There is a subsequent referral of Ways and Means, and that's where some of the problems came in, whether or not to send the subsequent referral of Ways and Means. Representative Mason testified that 1716 expenditure could be absorbed by the present budget, and it was not no necessary to refer it back to the
Okay. If there is to be a motion on the bill, then the chair would suggest that that recommendation include, as part of the committee report, rescission of the referral to Ways and Means, consistent with Representative Mason's review of the fiscal impact and the budget of that particular commission, and whether or not it would be impacted, or the impact is of significance of Ways and Means would want to see it. And I assume that Representative Mason, we're not talking about much impact, and I will assume that he is operating with the concurrence, at least the lack of objection from the co-chairs of Ways and Means, and I will, for one, double check that with the co-chairs of Ways and Means just to make sure if that would, I think, just to make sure there's no question on that issue. Representative Miller?
Just want to seek a little clarification on Representative Mason's information, and that is that apparently he indicates they could handle the fiscal impact of this with their current budget. Is it fair to say that the current budget without this bill could be reduced by a certain amount?
That wasn't an issue that was discussed, and I couldn't respond. I'd have to relay that question to Representative Mason. Yes, Representative Miller.
The inquiry is, as I would understand it, is whether or not this has a fiscal impact. Maybe I don't understand all the ins and outs of ways and means, but if it has some impact and if it can be swallowed up in an existing budget, that's a matter. But I guess to me the important question is, does it cost money, and should we consider it on that basis as well?
If that's the question directed to me, okay, I don't know if I can give you more of a response than the information or to repeat what Representative Mason told us. I don't believe I've talked to him about any further detail other than his comments before the subcommittee, which were that he felt the budget was such that I don't know what adjustments would be appropriate, but he didn't feel there would be a requirement for any additional funds beyond that which has already been appropriated or will be appropriated. So he felt it wasn't necessary for Ways and Means review. And again, I'll be glad to verify that with the co-chairs to make sure that they understand that statement. Representative Curtin?
Well, I have down in my notes here for some reason the $1,756 increase.
Mr. Brea. Let me see if I can almost paraphrase what Mr. Representative Mason said. The 1760 the commission can absorb. I was praying, of course, was it verbatim? The operative word was absorbed.
Okay. Is there further discussion? I don't know that we have a motion on the bill. Representative Burton?
I'll move to send House Bill 2314 as amended. To the floor, we'll do pass for one day.
And further, that the referral to Ways and Means Committee be rescinded.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Burton. Representative Burton moves House Bill 2314 for the due pass as amended recommendation, and for the recommendation, the committee report that the subsequent referral by prior reference to Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there further discussion on the motion?
I just have a question.
Representative Phillips.
I can't recall hearing compelling testimony that we needed to increase the membership. Am I slipping a cog here, or did we hear somebody say there was a real dying need out there?
Dying need, probably not the words that I would use, and I don't think anyone ventured to express a dying need for this. As I understand it, without this increase, the commission probably would lose the services of two members who are recognized for their background and experiences as being valuable contributors. And it was felt that rather than risk their continued service on the commission membership should be expanded too. It was also felt, stating in a different way, that the commission would profit or gain much from having a senior judge serve in addition to those judges who are already eligible for appointment, and that also the corresponding increase in the governor's appointees from 4 to 5 would also be appropriate to allow continued service of a member of the commission now whose experience and background have contributed and would be helpful to the work of the commission.
Mr. Chair,
one more question.
Well,
Jack Beatty and Hardy Myers are the names.
Okay.
Make a long story short. Representative Kapetsky.
Yeah, I just want to make sure for the record that the reason I'm voting for this bill is not to accommodate two members, but to, I think there is a need to have a retired judge on. I think there's a benefit to that because they are no longer tied to anybody. I mean, they're getting a nice, the retirement. They don't have to watch their backside on this stuff. And so I think there's a legitimate reason as to the having a retired judge on that. And, that's why I'm supporting this, not for the sake of any individual.
Thank you, Representative. I also want to express my confidence the governor will make a good appointment in this expanded edition. Is there a further discussion? If not, clerk will call the roll.
Delaney?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Will?
No.
Kapetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Representative Mason deserves the honor.
I couldn't have said it better myself. In fact, I would have made that part of the motion. I knew that he was not shirked from this privilege.
Telling you, don't expect a tremendous amount of assistance.
He may be even asked to carry the committee report, which rescinds the referral, Representative. Okay, 2769.
Yeah. This bill deals with the legal rights of veterans in attempting to obtain veteran administration benefits. Right now, the attorney's fees in VA cases are limited to $10. We had a lot of testimony from veterans. And at our work session, we adopted Amendment 2769-1. You should have a copy. They incorporate Lonnie Roberts and Representative Springer's amendments. This would allow law students to represent veterans in cases before the Veterans Administration. And this was the only amendment to the bill. It has a supposed throw away the means.
Okay, Representative Bunn.
I would move House Bill 2769 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Bunn moves House Bill 2769 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there a further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Kapetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion is adopted. I don't believe there's any further business to come before the full committee. I just want to alert members that we are at the point where we hope to conclude consideration of House bills, I hope within the next week or two. There obvious exceptions, perhaps, but we are going to get down to Senate bills later this week and next week. We don't have a whole lot of Senate bills, but I'm sure the ones we do have are important, and we're going to be looking at those closely and begin consideration of those very shortly. And we hope, again, to conclude work on House bills. And that may mean an additional full committee hearing or meeting during the week as we get closer to signing Dodge. We'll try to give you every bit of advance notice if that's the case. But I think we're making reasonably good progress, but we have a little more work ahead of us yet before we finish. So we'll continue to meet generally in subcommittee as noted, occasionally evening hearings when necessary, and full committee more often than once weekly if necessary. So if there's no... Yes, Representative Miller.
Do you have any evening, is the Monday night, Tuesday night thing scheduled for May or not yet?
Tuesdays are, Subcommittee 2 is working to catch up a bit in terms of...
Only because we're short-changed on some time.
They lost an evening last night, so I'm not sure if Subcommittee 1 is going to be scheduling an evening here, but Sub 2 for sure is... at least next Tuesday evening, is that correct? And we'll try to let members know just as soon as we can, and should feel free to mention that or discuss that with subcommittee chairs.
Mr. Chair, sub 2 will continue to work to bring out decisive measures like the grandparents' rights bill.
Great, we need to check our signals again. The first and the third big base coach is here. Is there any further business before the full committee? If not, we'll be adjourned and we'll be taking about a 10-minute recess a little early in our afternoon recess to change the tapes and come back to our subcommittee two bills.